This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN. Lot to get to today. It continues. I was telling John as we came in here, the money train, otherwise known as Fade Brad Carson, excuse me, let me get my words straight. Slowed down a little bit last night. But don't worry. Don't worry. Because there's another night tonight. Brad was picking winners yesterday. Went 2-1.
Pain.
He flipped the script on us a little bit.
Yes.
Okay? And so do not be discouraged. This segment will go on. And I suppose now through, is it 16 games, John? I think it's 16 games now. Two of them were playing. The rest all playoffs. Brad is 4-12 in terms of picking games in this. Our advice, to fade him. So if you've faded Brad, you are still 12-4. John, if my White Station math is correct, that's still a 75% clip for listeners who have faded Brad Carson. So you're still doing very good. Down from the high 80s.
Absolutely.
Where we were, in mid-80s where we were. But don't fret. Phoenix's big three should be fretting, though. They were no match for the Timberwolves. Maybe it's not a big three. Maybe, as Chris Harrington said this morning, Bradley Beal is just a guy now. He might be right. That's ugly.
Yeah.
And they need Devin Booker and Kevin Durant to do everything for them. And, of course, they could not do enough last night. Timberwolves look good. And we should not have underestimated this number one ranked defense. It's giving the Phoenix Suns some problems. Pacers cover for Brad. They handled the Bucks. Halliburton talked afterwards about how his brother in game one was called a racial slur. So a lot going on there. He did play better, John. You were hard on Halliburton and his leadership in terms of this Pacers team a little bit earlier this week. We'll talk about that. I told you that Kawhi Leonard being back for the first time since, late May, would slow them down, and it did. But we should also give credit to Dallas's defense. Luka Doncic is playing defense these days, and that Dallas defense had been really good down the stretch of the regular season, was again last night. So a lot of playoff to talk about. Reggie Bush got his Heisman back. That's great. And then it's nearly upon us, the NFL draft. So a little bit longer monologue. I'm actually preparing for next week when the monologues will be long. It'll be like just me and Brad.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be here for you if you want to alternate the voice a little bit.
Yeah. Well, you know I'm going to need to bounce it off you. But that's what I'm preparing
for. I'll just let you talk and shut it off like Dennis.
Oh, no. Please don't.
I'll figure that out amongst yourself.
Then let's back. Let's reposition.
I said and Brad Carson.
Yeah, it'll be interactive.
Let's hope so.
Y'all need to figure that out on your own time.
What's going to be is long.
I'm here for interactive. If you want to brainstorm in advance of the show, in the office in the corner.
We can make picks.
Yes.
All day long.
Yeah, I got a lot of planning. I can come up with bits. I got interviews. I got a Rolodex the size of Mount Rushmore.
You hear that, dog?
Yeah, we won't have the guy.
Remember who you're dealing with across the glass, folks.
Ooh wee!
I'll be leaning heavily on
your executive producer. Just ask questions. I'll give you answers.
It's like Radio Shack, man. I absolutely love it, man.
This is Radio Shack.
I'm loving it.
He's got the answers.
I'll be ready to tune in, and you know, I'll need a break, so I'll be that 11-2 spot will be my escape. You know what I mean? There's no doubt about that. But yeah, we have a lot to touch on today. NFL draft, as you mentioned, is tomorrow, at least the first round, and that's where the fireworks will begin. And so we'll talk about that with Adam Chernoff, our friend from Right Angle Sports.
Excellent.
And see if there's some ways to attack the handicap piece of it. You know, I have nothing on the draft. I don't anticipate I'll have anything on the draft because I don't know, right? I have no idea.
Well, he dropped some picks today, though, didn't he?
Yes, on his newsletter. He sure did. And the one that I would say is, like, most, like, okay, you can still bet it, get down on it, is J.J. McCarthy, the under 5.5.
His first one, yes.
Yeah, which presumes a trade by the, I guess, the Chargers. I guess the Chargers are the team that would trade. But I guess the Cardinals could be one of those teams. You have 4 and 5 are trade candidates. So that's the one. I think it's like minus 145, minus 150. So yep. If that's, you know, what you want to get after, you can do it there. But he'll join us at 11:25, and we'll talk to him about the NFL draft, some prospects, what your Bears might do, what the Raiders might do.
It's very exciting.
There's been some interesting movement with the Raiders in terms of where they may look in their first position drafted.
Oh, really?
Yes, so we'll talk about that with Adam Chernoff at 11:25. Then at 1:25, Norton Hurd, the fourth, is going to join us.
Oh, yay. Timely, so timely. Right on time.
He's going to join us, and he is going to announce Jaden Quaintance's commitment to the University of Memphis.
Lies.
At 1:25, right here in studio. It'll be great. It'll be fantastic.
We're going to dig it. We're going to interrogate him, though.
We will get to the bottom of it. We will see what
about
is up.
Some Jaden Quaintance.
We will see
his
what is up.
His former player.
Yes, with Jaden Quaintance. What's the latest? Is Memphis the favorite in this recruitment? Are they an underdog in this recruitment? We'll get into all of that with Norton Hurd, the kind of player he is. And more at 1:25. So that is the show today. As always, looking forward to it. But it is Wednesday. Usually we do this sort of a little bit earlier in the week, but we didn't hold off until Wednesday, which, you know, quite frankly, is a blessing. You know, any time you can hold off until hump day for this is just
organic.
An absolute
happy.
Blessing.
It's beautiful.
But let's do a little cap or no cap.
Cap. It means lion, but built different now. It's cap.
I'm going to say cap.
For no cap.
I'm going to say that that's no cap.
On 92.9's Jason and John Show.
Going to start it off with the news of the day with Jaden Quaintance, the five-star big man who was previously committed to Kentucky, who is now on the market and reportedly going to visit Memphis as soon as this weekend. Jaden Quaintance is going to be a Memphis Tiger. Is that cap or no cap?
The other reason this news has been ratcheted up in terms of attention is because he's not going to Arkansas, which a lot of people had
marked down
that he would follow Cal as a former Kentucky guy would follow Cal to Arkansas, and that got crossed off yesterday. And so it's raised the attention level in terms of Quaintance and the fact that Zagori, I think, had it first when Quaintance mentioned he's going to be taking the visit to Memphis. So this is ratcheted up, certainly. Listen, man, you saw the numbers flying around in terms of what, you know, maybe the best way to put it is purportedly what he's allegedly been offered by Louisville in terms of NIL, you know, millions and millions and millions. And so I don't doubt that the number is going to be super high, and that's how you get Jaden on. Now, credit to Jason Munns over at Commercial Appeals, got a story over at commercialappeals.com where he talked to Jaden Quaintance's dad who says, John, the decision won't come down to money. That said, I think it will, with all due respect. And I heard you with Jeff. I think this is real dangerous territory if you're talking about, you know, going to millions and millions for Jaden Quaintance. And you're already off to what I would say is a pretty solid start in terms of building next season's team. And there's already a lot of NIL invested in that, obviously. Like, you're not getting these guys for free. And so to sort of throw off the script, all of a sudden, you have an opportunity now that, you know, wasn't there till Cal leaves, but to throw off the script with a guy who, yes, may one day be an NBA player, looks a lot, you know, reminds me a lot of Jalen Duren just in terms of a man child. In this case, he's only 16.
Right.
I mean, he may even be more one than Duren was. He was. I just think, I heard you with Jeff, and I agree. I think it's dangerous territory when you're talking about potentially making him the highest paid NIL guy, a guy that's 16 years old, a guy that we know is... I don't think the demands will stop because of the expectations for Quaintance that Quaintance's family's got. I don't think the demands will stop with NIL. What about when he gets here? He going to demand to start as a 16-year-old, especially one making that much money and one that thinks he's on his path to the NBA? Like, that is a potential headache and distraction that I don't think is worth it. I've watched him play us on the McDonald's game and everything else. I've listened to Hurd talk about how dominant he was for him on the EYBL there for Team Thad. I know what a prospect this guy is, and I'm saying it's not worth it. Listen, Memphis is obviously considering it. You're having him on campus. We know that those talks are serious, but I'm going to say I hope that Jaden Quinn is not a Tiger because I like the plan as is.
Yeah.
The plan without him.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, obviously, if you heard me on Jeff's show, this is going to be a, you know, this is going to be mostly
repetitive. Well, it's the news. We had many that tune in that, that didn't hear you on Jeff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't hear it.
But I think two things. One is Louisville, as far as I understand, has met, or I don't know, maybe not met, met is the wrong word, set the market here on Jaden Quaintance. And it's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. And I think for Memphis, you know, you have to ask yourself, if we come close to this, you know, what can we hope to sort of get out of it? Is he going to take us to a Final Four? Is he committing for 2 years? Is he? And I think the answer to that is no. You know, I think even if you were able to, you know, come to an agreement, the odds are that, just like with anyone, the kid's going to transfer. I mean, that's just whatever, because it's just like you basically hit the market all over again in the off season. So what you pay now, and then what do you pay, you know, a year from now? You know, it's just, again, I sit on the show with Jeff, and I'll just repeat it. I'm not going to be one of those people that demonize the family for trying to get the most amount of money for their son, you know, and for his services, right? Like, I would do the same thing. I think you would do the same thing. I mean, sure, we would probably say, well, if we're, you know, 10% off here, we might like this coach a little more. But by and large, I think it's the right thing to do. It's generational money. There's no guarantee you're going to play in the NBA, you know? Even though you're a five-star kid, there's no guarantee that you're ever going to be a pro. So this is a potential life-changing amount of money that you're talking about. And so I don't blame anybody for trying to get the most money for services here. It's the game we play. I think where you have to sort of ask yourself is, if you're Memphis, do you want to play that game? Do you want to do it with Jaden Quaintance? Does he change your circumstances enough?
And they wouldn't be having him on if they couldn't, right? Didn't think they could. They wouldn't have him visiting.
I think maybe they could talk themselves into. You know, we know. I don't know. I don't know the answer for sure.
You brought up Imani this morning, and I think it's a good time to do that. And because a little bit different in terms of obviously the position, but same in terms of the way I'm looking at it, in that there was a pressure, right, because of the track Imani was on, because of what was going on in terms of his stature, NIL, whatever, to get him out there,
yeah,
and to shoehorn him in, to force him in there. With a team that was older, and frankly, it didn't work out, right? To me, this would be it would be much of the same. Quain's really going to sit making millions in NIL? He's going to want to play, right? On a team that, yes, it's new in terms of guys, but it's going to be older.
Yep.
And in the same way, they're going to wait up for him. That, again, I could just see the cars of the train stacking up on each other in terms of chemistry issues, you know, guys resenting that they're not making what he's making because the kid's struggling a little bit, as you point out, John, as most freshmen do, period, in college basketball. But this kid's probably, he's going to be 17 years old. He's going to struggle. They're going to wait on him. They're trying to get to the NCAA tournament and everything else. And so it's just a, you know, a potential list of distractions and things we've been through that I would say, again, make it not worth it. Make it not worth it in the end. And we know that you already had a plan, right, before Cal leaves Arkansas and all this becomes possible, you already had a plan. I think I just, again, would stick to the script here rather than, you know, potentially throwing things off. Could it work out? And he's fantastic. And, maybe there is no Musa. You push some guys down or whatever else, and he plays out there with Dane Danger and work, possibly. But it just feels like there will be a lot of demands and potential headaches that you could avoid by not going this route. They're obviously seriously considering it,
yeah,
having him on.
Yeah.
You're not just bringing him on for show.
No, they definitely want him. They definitely are interested. It's just a matter of are they interested at the price that it's going to.
Because apparently Kentucky and Arkansas were not.
Correct. Exactly right. And I saw,
I mean, again, for Cal to say no at this point, right?
Yes, yes.
You already had him. You want to take the Kentucky class that you had back into Rupp and beat them with it. For him to say no, that number must be high. Yeah. Crazy high.
It is high. It is definitely. It's high. It's out there.
I know it's been speculating it's out there. I don't know how real it is, but I'm just saying Cal's not backing off of it unless it's super significant. So
correct.
That's why I lend more credence to the fact it's millions of dollars. If Cal is backing off and you at one time had him, and again, want to keep that class.
Yes. Now, yeah. I do
so
think
that. So imagine how much of your NIL is that, John, from Memphis? How much of your budget is that now?
Well, it's almost half of the FedEx commitment, so. You know,
well, and that's what I'm saying. That FedEx commitment was not just for Memphis basketball. It was stretched over, and as you told us, the majority of it going to go to football.
Exactly.
Okay, so that it ain't like you got $5 million that for basketball that and a chunk of it can go to Jaden Quaintance. You know, you can't give him half. Mm-hmm. That could probably go through the whole program.
Yes, exactly right.
But I believe they could put it together. The question is it worth it? I would tell you no.
Yes. So, listen, we'll talk to Hurd about this at 125. We'll get his thoughts on the situation.
Ask him if he thinks it's worth it.
I do not believe.
We literally just asked him last week how much Quaintance could get on the open market in NIL.
Yes.
Do you remember his answer?
I don't.
I want to say he said millions, but we can refresh our. I think he was right.
Yes.
I should go back and listen to the audio.
But I do not believe that Jaden Quaintance will be a Tiger. I will say cap on that. I just think Louisville's a little more desperate, right? First year coach.
Yeah, I'm going to go cap, too.
That doesn't mean you don't still try, you know, you see if you can sort of get into you bring them on campus, maybe it's so great and you bring up, you know, Precious and James and, you know, Jalen Duren.
Oh, yeah, I think it's probably worth it at a certain number for Memphis.
Exactly right. And you just ask, hey, will this work? And if it doesn't, it doesn't. And you just move on, you know. But I don't think it's like, oh, any number, good to any number. We'll do it.
That's dangerous territory.
You know, that's just where I'm at with it. So, anyway, that's the latest. All right, the next Memphis athletic director should be black. Cap or no cap?
Reference to Mark Giannana's column over the Commercial Appeal. Strong, strong column. I will say this. I commend Mark for writing it because he knew as he was writing what kind of blowback he could potentially get and who it would come from. You know, here's what I'll say on it. I read his whole column. And again, I commended him for writing it because there's not a lot of people who would write this column, who would feel so strongly about this in terms of voices that we listen to in Memphis media. And so, again, I commend him. The priority, and this is coming from a black man, the priority in terms of Memphis's next AD should not be race. It should be who can best get the job. That said, yes, Memphis needs more color. And its athlete needs more diversity. That's black. That's women. That's brown. It's everything in that athletic department. It is past time, and that's what Mark is mostly saying in the column. That it is past time for that athletic department, and frankly, the leadership over there in the administration building, to look more like the student body, to be more reflective of the student body. There is no question about that. But it should not be the priority in the hire. You understand what I'm saying?
Yep.
You're not only interviewing black candidates. Tim Duncan, I'm going to put this out because we had some people say that he is underqualified. The former Tiger who had been here said on Twitter yesterday he's underqualified because he hasn't had football. And that is certainly a fair point on Tim Duncan. He's absolutely earned. He's paid dues. He's earned the shot. You're not going to find a lot of black athletic directors in our country, as Mark points out. There's not a huge pool to pull from that have had oversight of big football programs and basketball programs at the same time. You know why? Because we're not reflected. We're not given those chances.
Yep.
And again, it's why people are looking at, you know, the former Auburn AD. He's black. He's up at Tennessee now. Again, there aren't many of those that have had those opportunities. We absolutely, at some point, yes. Be nice to have a black athletic director in there. I'd love if he is. And Jarvis Greer said the same thing, who's quoted in Mark's column. Yes, it's past time, but it shouldn't be the priority in the hire. That's the best way I can put it. I would love to see a black athletic director of Memphis. I would love at some point to see a black president at Memphis with the student body. It shouldn't be the priority in terms of making the hire.
Right.
Should you be interviewing black candidates? Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I'll go as far as to use the word Jarvis. It's a travesty if you don't, because there are some out there that have earned this shot, this interview, this opportunity.
Right.
If there's a better qualified white candidate, you should go with them. If there's a better qualified brown candidate, you should go with them. You understand what I'm saying? If it's a woman, I want best candidate for the job. And yes, here's the issue. it more so than who's at the head of it, you need more representation throughout the athletic department so that you can be doing your part to contributing to more minorities getting these opportunities to be in these positions to then have an opportunity to interview for a job like Memphis. So it is an issue. It's a problem. There is no question about it. And again, I tell you that you have to address that.
Right.
One way or another.
Right.
Whether it's the AD or the folks beneath him, the folks right that are doing all the work and everything else, you've got to get more representation over there in terms of for minorities and for women. And for women.
Yeah, look, I agree with the spirit of the discussion, right? The spirit of the discussion is we need more diversity. That's the spirit of the discussion. Do I agree that it should be? No. I don't believe in should be's. Because should be sort of, okay, well, should it be a woman? Should it be, a Latino person? Should it be an Asian person? Should it be, I mean, you name it, right? Like, you could sort of play that angle a lot of different ways, mm-hmm. right? And should it be a black woman, right? I think Memphis should hire a black woman AD. You know, like, what it should be, as you said, is the person who is best equipped to lead the University of Memphis into a prosperous future. It may be Tim Duncan.
Unfortunately, that pool has very few minorities.
There's no question. That's
what
the real heart of the issue.
That's the issue here. That's what people should be discussing.
College athletic employees are not being promoted to positions like deputy ADs, like associate ADs,
not enough
to where they could be actually considered for the promotion ultimately to AD. There's no doubt about that. You just look around Power 5 athletic departments, I'm assuming you're just going to find mostly white associate ADs without having the stuff in front of me. Now, and again, where does that start? Is that, you know, you really, when you start talking about the top of the issue, you really have to get to the root of the issue, you know? So it's like we're skipping so many steps when we go to AD.
Yeah.
That's there's no list of candidates to speak of, right? Mostly. I mean, there are some, not enough. And I think that sort of starts again, are the opportunities there to transition, you know, into athletic department roles. You know, and I think that's the part of it that is definitely missing, and it has been missing for a long, long time. But I can't say that for one specific position, it should be this. It should look like this. You know, would it be great? Would it be
the athletic department should look like that?
Yes.
The fact is, with the AD position, the way it should be phrased is that it would be fantastic.
Yeah, it would be fantastic.
A black person, a woman. Is
yes.
the best candidate for the job.
Yes.
And you need to be interviewing candidates, black candidates,
absolutely.
Minorities, and there's no question about
and
it.
And I suspect they will. I mean, they'll interview Tim Duncan. You know, I know Mickey Allen at Tennessee State's name has come up, so there will be some, you know, but it may be.
My thing is, if Tim Duncan's the best man for the job, give it to him.
100%.
And fantastic.
100%.
And if Tim Duncan can do that, I mean, that's the one thing is, if you get a black AD, like our thing about having more black folks represented, more minorities represented within the athletic department, Tim Duncan would see to that. You would know that,
right?
When you have it at the head. And so whether it's him or Mark Allnut, again, if they are the best candidate, man, give it to them, and it's fantastic.
Right.
You've hit something that you've long needed to do.
Yes.
It shouldn't be the priority going into it, just like you shouldn't interview only black candidates.
Right.
If we flip this and you're only interviewing white candidates,
right.
We would say that's a problem.
Yes.
If you're just interviewing black candidates because your priority is, I just want to get a black person up in there.
Right.
That it shouldn't be the best priority. It shouldn't be the priority because you may not get the best candidate for the job.
Yep.
I mean, you have to flip it both ways.
Yeah.
If you're going to be fair about this,
the way
the headline is written, and
yes.
some of it is suggest you should only interview black candidates because it's
yes.
time for a black AD. It's past time for a black AD. There's no question about it. That said, the priority in this hire should be the best candidate for the job. I hope it's black. That'd be great.
Yeah,
you'd be addressing something that's long been needed
for sure.
I want best candidate.
I also think I hope we can get to a point in society. In corporate America, where for there to be diversity, it doesn't have to be, for example, a minority in charge. that maybe that can happen without that. Like, oh, for us to have diversity, it has to be a black person as the AD, right? Like, we need to get to a space where there's diversity regardless. You know what I'm saying? Where it's like a white person in charge.
You don't get that without going back to the roots of the issue.
No question.
Like we talked about.
It's a generational thing. It's a generational but diversity is not just – diversity is ideas, right? Diversity is – and that's where – and that's why it's good. Diversity is not just, oh, I have to hit some quota because I want to look good on paper that I have X amount of white employees, X amount of black employees, X amount of Asian employees. It's diversity of thought. It's different backgrounds. It's different upbringings. It's different everything. And I just tend to believe that when you have that in the same space, it's going to create better collaboration, a better, a better whatever it is, a better product, you know, a more well-rounded worldly product. Memphis would be a more worldly athletic department. Any athletic department would be a more worldly athletic department if they had more diversity. You know, it's just that's not really a controversial statement. You know what I mean? Like, it's just really not. And so, look, I hope it happens in terms of just, again, whoever the AD is. Like, that's sort of inconsequential to me. I'm more focused on the source of the issue, you know, the ground zero part of it, which is how can we get more diversity in the ground roots, opportunities at the beginning, you know, to where.
And real fast on the Tim Duncan is underqualified because he hasn't had football. You know, he doesn't have that down at New Orleans as the AD. I point out, you know, he hasn't been in the situation yet where he could have the oversight. That's part of it. But with Tim Duncan, and wouldn't you say this? Tim Duncan's a tiger.
Yep.
That's the other part about this. And for your own, and for the many people that are claim that they're tigers too, that say he's underqualified, for your own that have paid their dues like Tim Duncan, you absolutely got to bring those folks back in and interview them. If you're not interviewing your own, what good are you? You know, you talk about getting people ready for opportunities, and then you don't provide them with opportunities. In this case, an interview. You know, your own. So that's why, again, for your own, you bring him in. You say, Tim, it's a yes.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You haven't had football. How would you go about it? And would you do like a Tom Bowen, white guy in this instance, who goes out, and I'm just using Tom Bowen as the example, who didn't know anything about basketball, right, was struggling, goes and gets a Ren Baker. Those ADs can do that. You can go get you a football guy if you're Tim. But my point to that is that if you ain't, you know, extending an arm to saying Tim Duncan, who's paid his dues out here, and no, he's not the perfect candidate because he hadn't had football, but he's one of your own. If you're not bringing him back in here, you ain't trying to address any of this stuff. So Tim Duncan absolutely deserves a shot at the gig, you know, at the interview and everything else, even with him not having the football background and everything else. But it's that type of thing, a man that's going to easily X out the few that are in positions to get extended possible opportunities like this. Like Tim, we're going to say, well, Tim can't be a candidate because he hadn't had football. Bro, there aren't many sitting black ADs who have had both. You know, the guy at Auburn's one of the few.
It's a chicken
who's and now egg. Exactly.
It's a chicken and egg.
So that's what I'm saying. So you're taking one off the table that we could possibly interview, that could possibly be the guy for this job, because you say he's underqualified,
brother, we ain't been in those spots yet. Enough of us in those spots.
So, I mean, for Mr. Hire a black AD, it's like Tim Duncan, or it's like a you're taking a chance, you know.
I mean, Mar Hallnut's done, you know, been in, is at Buffalo.
He's, I mean, basically, you know, that's all. And again, that's all, right? I mean, Allen Green,
who Hargrave has connections to, having been at Auburn.
But
that's what I'm pointing. It's a so if we start pulling folks off of that pool. That's already shallower. You see what I'm saying? We'll never get to any change or get the black AD in there.
Again, I completely agree. I mean,
So you got to give them the shot to come in there and try to knock your socks off and tell you, well, yeah, I haven't had football in the way that you all have had, but here's my plan.
Right.
You know, here's the guys I've been eyeing to bring in here under, and they're gonna oversee football for me, just like many ADs do.
Right.
That have got, you know, that are specialized more on one side than the other.
Right.
I mean, Tim can do that.
Sure.
So, I mean, but again, my point is that, again, back to the point, folks trying to take him off. Bro, if you start picking at the few we have, there's not going to be anybody to interview. It will be all white candidates up in there.
Right. Memphis needs to hire the best candidate that can help them into a new landscape of college athletics. That's the first sentence. Whoever that is, right? Again, to me, diversity is important. It's not the job qualification. Yeah. I mean, so I think that's just where, you know what I'm saying, like, and I'm supportive of it. I mean, I obviously am.
Too many people look at it as a number. Like, you know, Dan saying I'm DEI, they look at it as a number, and that's your value, right? Oh, they got a few black people in there. They got a few women up in there. Rather than looking at it as it makes the overall product, the overall company, what you're putting out better. Because it's more well-rounded. You have more. It's better. It's a better product when you have diversity in it. As opposed, there's your value. You understand what I'm saying? As opposed to a number like so many are trying to put on. You know, when we have this conversation about diversity, your quota. You know, how many you have.
Like
rather than looking at the value. You know, I mean, again, it's such a slap in the face to. Paying my dues, trying to do what I did to work my way up, as opposed, you make it sound like it's been handed to me because I'm black.
That's what Dan Dockett said on Twitter when he called you a DEI. It's meant to diminish your
that I hadn't earned it. I'm getting it because now it's because of my skin color only.
Right.
They just went interviewed a bunch of black candidates because you have to have a black guy in there as opposed to. I earned this. I worked my way up. A black guy who worked his way up, that's damn right, he's earned the shot.
Right.
You know, it's just a slap in the face. But those are people that are looking at it as, oh, man, we just got to get diversity up in the company.
Yeah,
because that's what the government, that's what America says we got to do.
When people read it out of his headline,
they don't see the value.
They imagine Memphis going down Mount Moriah and just saying, hey, there's a black guy walking down Mount Moriah. Let's make him the athletic director.
It's the way you can use the words against the spirit of what we're talking about.
Which is like DEI sort of uses like this slanderous, phrase or whatever, but like diversity is a beautiful thing. I promise you that the most successful companies in America have diverse employees. I promise you. Like, look at I guarantee you, Meta, Google, Amazon, you're going to have diverse groups of employees.
It's ideas, it's backgrounds, it's everything. You're bringing everything to the table.
Because you're presented with different sets of discussions. Like,
you're, again, why you're limited we all in your discussions
an
when
echo
everybody's
chamber,
the same.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
1,000%.
What's that going to do?
People got to realize that's the value of it.
Yeah.
You know.
It's not like, oh, we have to appease the woke mob, you know, because, you know, no, it's like, hey, we want to foster an environment where, again, people from different backgrounds and creeds and colors and religions and upbringings can come together and they could say, well, I don't know if I like this marketing campaign. I think, what about this? And you sort of, you freshen it up and you get new eyeballs on it. Like, if everybody came from the same exact background, came from the same exact privilege, came from the same exact, you know, whatever, the product's going to be stale. It's going to be
not reflective of our country.
Exactly right. And so... Again, I know all these buzzwords are going to trigger people, but it's a divisive issue. It really is. It's unfortunately a divisive issue when I wish it wasn't. I wish it was just very simple. Like, if the best candidate is black, you hire that candidate. If the best candidate is white, you hire the white candidate. I mean, that's how I feel about it. I think that's how you feel about it, you know, but do we have to get more black people in the room? Absolutely.
Yeah, you got to give him a chance.
Yes,
you have to give Tim Duncan a chance before you say he's not qualified.
Yes.
Because, again, the pool is more shallow when it comes to those candidates.
And I think that's again.
And if it stayed that way, we'd never get any change, whether it's at the top
exactly
or within
right.
the athletic department or anything else.
Because if you want to zoom out, right, let's zoom out. What's the bottom line statement? There are not enough black people in the room.
1,000%.
That's the problem. It's not that. Oh, Memphis needs to hire a black AD. It's that Memphis
like
really doesn't have
white
the
athletic departments are like 80% white across the country.
Exactly right.
The number
so why is that? So why is that? Because I guarantee you, there's so. I mean, the college men's college basketball, women's college basketball, football. It's dominant. It's predominantly African American, right? It's predominantly African American player base, right? So why is it flipped? You know, I mean, I think you sort of have to start asking those difficult conversations and having those difficult, you know.
It's happening because people are telling us that these candidates are unqualified because they haven't had those.
Right.
In the end, they're unqualified because they haven't had the opportunity. So you've got to pull them in and you've got to give them the opportunity.
And they can't be ADs if they don't get associate ADs and deputy ADs, right? I mean, that's just, there's a process
to it. Or if those that are in those positions, you're saying you're not qualified enough because you haven't been in this position. Well, you can't get that position if you ain't giving them a chance.
Now.
And again, in Tim Duncan's case, he's one of your own.
Right.
So he absolutely has earned it. He's paid his dues.
Yes. So, again, I know that there's going to be people who are, I can only imagine the tweets we'll get. I really can only imagine. But, I mean,
it's not about that. It's about the truth.
It's not, you know, it's that Memphis doesn't have the option, the enough options, right? Like, there's no, you know, who's the up-and-coming, you know, black athlete? I mean, Mark Arnold's at Buffalo, right? Tim Duncan's at New Orleans. Those are not in, you know, Mickey Allen's at Tennessee State. These are not, and that's why, for example, Ryan Alpert, I'll just use him as an example. Like, that's a lot flashier. He's raising money at Tennessee.
I mean, and he's done the work to do so. He's also was given the opportunity to do so.
Absolutely right.
And again, not many Tim Duncans and Mark Allnuts have been given those opportunities.
If Tim Duncan or Mark Allnut was in the job that Ryan Alpert was in, and Ryan Alpert was the AD at Buffalo, we'd be saying hire Mark Allnut or Tim Duncan. But because they're at New Orleans and Buffalo, which are, those athletic programs have their own struggles and aren't really, right? I mean, this is just the truth. This is just the truth. And so it the jobs are harder to come by, right? And the ones that, you know, are open and do hire are, you know, challenging. I mean, it's just, you know, you can argue with that if you want, but it's just the truth. Like, is there
same thing? We've seen something similar in the NFL with general managers and how few of them there were.
Head coaches.
And again, until head coaches too, but particularly with general managers, because obviously ownership's still mostly white. But you know, Ozzie Newsome for a long time was one of the few. And we've seen it more. We've seen more now where Bears, Dolphins. I mean, I could go down the list in terms of seeing more diversity in those positions. Again, they didn't get those until being given opportunities beneath those. And we don't have enough black folks in those spots right now.
Correct.
And again, this would be nice to flip a switch and fix. You don't do it that way. And it's taken years in the NFL just to get to this point, and we're still behind. It's going to be the same way in college athletics. But what you have to recognize is you've got a problem if most of the athletic departments, again, across the country, we're talking 80% white. You have to break the cycle. And you don't do that by saying Tim Duncan's and others aren't qualified, so no, they don't deserve interviews
exactly.
because they haven't had those opportunities yet. They haven't been given those opportunities yet.
Absolutely.
You got to break the cycle. You know, it'd be nice to start with it with one of your own, at least, again, to interview. Tim Duncan's the best guy for the job, man. Give it to him. Be great.
Exactly.
Be awesome. If he's not, go with the guy or the woman who is. Period.
It's that simple. All right, we'll come back. Adam Chernoff's going to join us. We'll talk to him about the NFL draft, which starts tomorrow. Get his thoughts on some movement in the betting markets and more. Stick around. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN. Adam Chernoff is an NFL handicapper, NFL expert for Right Angle Sports, usually joins us throughout the regular season and has been busy churning out content about the NFL draft, which obviously begins tomorrow with round one. Had a newsletter that went out from AdamChernoff.com late last night about some picks and some bets, and he's going to join us now. Adam, hello, my friend. How are we?
I'm doing fantastic. Good to chat with you. Been a little bit wild, but ready for the draft and the unpredictability that comes with it.
That's right. That's right. So as a betting event, do you enjoy betting on the draft?
I'll be honest. I haven't done much betting on the draft in the past 15 years just because this has typically been – a time of year where I'm taking it easy a little bit. So this year was really a dive back in. I would say that I enjoyed it less than I thought I would. I hear about how everyone does so well with it and how everyone loves betting it.
Yes.
I think this year it's got a lot more difficult, according to people that I've spoken with, just in terms of sportsbooks being able to get to the price quicker than they have in the past. So I've enjoyed all the work that goes around it, learning the teams, but it hasn't been as easy as people have made it out to be, like it has in years past.
You know, that's the beauty of it, that it's not something that's uncertain in some ways, like a game, like an NFL game. You know, they're going to kick the ball off and a quarterback could throw three pick sixes. Anything can happen, that, you know, from the unexpected. But at least with the draft, you have the benefit of your own information. But I suppose, you know, that can work both ways, and the unexpected could still happen in the draft. And you know, you don't get a good bounce in the draft, right? Like, it is what it is. If a team swerves on you, Let's talk about some plays that you released. Now, I don't know. I'll have to check and see sort of where these prices are today. And I know that most of these are going to be price sensitive, but let's talk about the first pick and the first bet that you have in the newsletter today. That's J.J. McCarthy, under 5.5, minus 140. That was at DraftKings and Caesars. A, two questions. One, do you still believe this? And two, how sensitive is the price going to be on this bet?
Yeah, it's sensitive at 5.5. I would say when you're looking at the juice around that, if you go up to minus 165 on that, I think that that's playable. The reason I say 5.5 is so important is because I don't believe that Arizona is the trade-down candidate that they are being made out to be. I think if Minnesota truly wants to move up and get their quarterback, they can do so by going to 5 and swapping with the Chargers. Arizona has 11 picks in the draft. That's as many as any team. They don't need more. They're pretty content with where they are, especially with two first-rounders. And so that 5.5 is very important. But in the last 48 hours, I've seen people that I respect say that he has a chance to go as high as 2. I know that Williams is going 1. I think we all do. When it comes to 2, 3, 4, yeah, I got nothing concrete that says what the order is going to be, but I think we know who the guys are, and the fact that McCarthy now, from people I really respect, the week of the draft is going even higher. If you get under 5.5, I think that that's a good bet.
I think in your final mock at that point, I think that's been a couple of weeks, if I'm not mistaken, Adam, you had Drake May going to Washington, Jaden Daniels going to New England. Do you still feel that way?
I do, but that, again, is not coming from any confirmation I have. And the truth is that nobody has confirmation.
Sure.
We've heard nothing from either front office, in being Washington or New England, about who they are interested in. What we've heard this week publicly is that both of them are interested in a quarterback and are content at staying at their positions.
Right.
I think New England is going to be more likely than Washington to make a deal, but I do think that both of those stick 2 and 3. So the reason that I have been sticking with Drake May at number 2 is because early in the process, when we go back to late February, early March, that's initially when the ties of May to Washington came about.
Yep.
And there's been nothing but speculation to change that. I know we're getting to a very big price now on Daniels to go number 2, so it's tough to disagree with the market in a sense. But again, like, I have a very hard time believing anything has been leaked from either team to a guy specifically. So that's the real reason I've been holding on to May at 2. But it's not a bet I've made, because there's just nothing public out there about anything tying either guy to either team.
Now, what was the steam last year on draft day? Like, it was Stroud, right? everybody had Stroud. He was picking up steam to go number 2, and that was not necessarily expected. Wasn't that what happened last draft day? Like, something kind of came out of nowhere with Stroud, or he dropped? I don't know. What, refresh my memory, where did the steam on draft day come from with Stroud?
It was, as you mentioned it, I don't remember the exact numbers that it was at and what it got to. I think we could potentially see something similar later today and into tomorrow as we get closer to the draft. There's a lot of kind of betting discussion internally among groups about how basically in the last 12 hours is when things switch from agents trying to position players to go to a certain spot to actual leaks coming about from various teams. And so because we're seeing this Daniels price go so high, if it does play out as initially was expected to back 2 months ago, we could see a pretty drastic switch, as well as we might see with McCarthy and how that comes out if we get a leak on what Minnesota wants to do. But those would be two that I could see playing out in a similar manner.
I got to ask you about the Raiders. They have it's very interesting over at Caesars. The favorite for the Raiders' first drafted position is now quarterback at plus 120. Now, what the hell does that look like? Obviously, somebody's hearing something that they're betting quarterback to be the first drafted position for the Raiders. Does that mean that they're going to draft Penix at 13? Does it mean that they're somehow going to trade? Like, what does this look like? Or maybe they could trade back, I suppose, Adam.
Yeah, I would be really surprised if they go Penix at 13. I think a lot of the bettors that I respect would be very surprised if that was the case, too. What is becoming seemingly a real possibility is you see the Raiders drop back later in the first round, where it makes a little bit more sense for that to happen. If you go back into the late 20s or even early 30s, when you think about some of those teams in that 26 to 32 range, they would really value a high-value wide receiver or potentially go up for a better offensive lineman than what's going to fall back late. That could be a realistic trade candidate for the Raiders. If they stay where they are, I would be very surprised if it is Penix that high in the draft position. I think that's a massive reach for the new ownership and staff to kind of take on with the move and sort of bank their future on being tied into that. So I don't think that's a move a new GM and head coach are going to make.
I found it extremely interesting, Adam, that, you know, in a lot of the mock drafts that I've surveyed, and especially around here, Titans fans, you know, at that 7 pick, you see a lot of Joe Alt there, and I've even seen him higher than that, and sort of in that, you know, top 7 range. In your mock, you've got him at 9, dropping to 9 to the Chicago Bears, and it looks like because of the run, right, on quarterbacks and for wide receivers, am I smart if I go that Joe Alt goes a little lower than maybe most of these mocks have?
Yeah, the entire world has Joe Alt going at 7
yep.
in the last 2 weeks. I mean, it's everybody connecting the need that the team has
right.
to the best player that's going to be available. I can't disagree that it makes a ton of sense for that to happen. What I've been kind of hanging on to here in terms of how I've looked at this process and how I've been betting it is tying any bet that I make to something that has been publicly said by a GM or a head coach.
Yep.
In the case of the Titans, there have been multiple times where the question has been posed to both the GM and a new coach, Callahan, if it comes down to it at 7 and you have the choice between offensive lineman or wide receiver, what is your preference? And both of them, multiple times, have said, if all things are equal, we would prefer to draft a player who can score points. Mm. And that kind of went away once you saw the addition of Ridley in the free agency window. But I don't think Calvin Ridley solves the issues for the Titans that they're going to have on offense.
Yeah.
With what Callahan wants to do, which is run a lot of 3 wide receiver sets. So considering who might be available there past Marvin Harrison, whether it's Neighbors, whether it's Odunze, they're going to have an option, and it just comes down to, is that guy going to be rated equal or higher than Alt at that position? And we'll see what happens at 7. But I will say the wide receiver price was as high as 8-1. It's now down to about 3-1. So it's been kind of a comeback here in the last 48 hours, but still time to figure out how that's going to play out.
Yeah, because, you know, my partner is just, he's a Bears fan, and he can't wait for tomorrow. This is basically the closest he's been to a Super Bowl, and, you know, since he's been an adult. And he's like, oh, Caleb Williams, Romeo Odunze, you know. And I'm trying to sell him on Brock Bowers. I'm trying to sell him on the Georgia tight end, Adam. Is that something that maybe you can try to do? Do you support a Bowers pick for the Bears at 9?
The Bears have commit and just went and got Gerald Everett, as you know, Adam. Doesn't fit.
Well, it might end up running 3 tight end sets if that's the case, if Bowers goes there, which, I mean, you want to protect your star quarterback. You just draft number 1. That's one way to do it. I don't think it's crazy and out of the realm of possibility. I think wide receiver would make a little bit more sense at 9,
yeah.
Giving Williams another weapon. And that's kind of been how things have been shaping up. But I will say, to the Bowers note, he's been lined at 12.5 consistently really for the last month or so since we started to see some of these position over-unders hit the board. And it's been nothing but sentiment on the under. And that's out to under 12.5, around minus 200. Could say someone else from our group internally really likes that under at 12.5. I'm a little bit more indifferent on it myself, but certainly a lot of people I respect like that under at 12.5.
We're talking to Adam Chernoff from Right Angle Sports. Does a great job, not just on the NFL regular season, but also on NFL draft. Yes. Here as we are getting ready for Thursday. When you talk about your process, you know, because I know you, and I know sort of the work that you do in terms of, you know, whether you're making a line or whether you're saying, is this a good bet? What is the coach saying about his scheme? What is the coach saying about his personnel? You know, you're sort of doing the same thing here with the draft, but isn't it a little more difficult to sort of sift through what's real and what's not, because teams don't necessarily want to show their hand, you know, if they have leverage or if they want to trade or whatever the case may be? So how do you sort of, you know, game the game week to week? You know, it's hard to really change much. You are what you are with what you have. So I don't think there's much gamesmanship with a game plan. How do you sift through what's real and what's not when it comes to drafting?
Yeah, it's really, really hard to do that. What I would say the big difference I've found is if it's a regular season week, I'm typically looking at where are these prices incorrect. And I'm judging that based off of having a number myself that I have a lot of confidence in, but then also listening and reading to a lot of other media, a lot of other bettors, exchanging thoughts and info. There's kind of a path that you can follow to get really comfortable with making a bet. Where this is really hard is nobody really has an opinion that you can debate and go back and forth with. And what I mean by that is everything really I've been seeing this entire last sort of 4 or 5 week stretch is everybody's doing the same thing. They're watching the press conferences. They're reading beat reporters quotes. They're trying to tie everything together. And then you're coming to the conclusion that I like this pick at this number because this staff or personnel member said this. And when everything is tied to that, it's really tough to debate that because you're like, well, yeah, they said it. And you can say, well, maybe it makes sense or maybe it doesn't. But everything's kind of tied to something. And it's really hard to say, like, this is dead wrong without having internal information, which I and 99% of other people don't have from any of these front offices. And so I found that really challenging to find spots to disagree with. And really that has turned this whole process into listening and reading to what staff say and then racing to try to find the best price. And that's not an area I typically love to play in. I like going the other way, finding where it's wrong and getting value that way. And so that's forced me to do it differently. And that's the biggest difference to me, for sure.
And then have you found some peace? Are you at a peace within yourself when it comes to the UCLA defensive end, Latu? I know that in your recent card, the one you dropped, you've got him now, you know, under 16.5. I've seen a big range on him. What happens in the end? What do you think, Adam?
Yeah, I like that under. I think he goes earlier. I think there's teams as high as 8 for Atlanta that are interested in him. I'm pretty confident based on what Atlanta reporters have said that they have him as the highest rated edge rusher. And a lot of that ties back to Daniel Jeremiah, who's really kind of impacting markets more than anybody with what he says. But in his top 150 that dates back all the way to January, Latu has been the guy who he's labeled as the best edge rusher in the class. Mm-hmm. The big issue with him is that he's had this neck injury and some medical uncertainty. But in the last week, he's been medically cleared. So he's clear and good to go. There's been a big drop in his price. I still think it could potentially go even lower. And to me, it's as much him or Byron Murphy, the defensive tackle, versus Dallas Turner, is who is going to be the first defensive player off of the board. But I like Latu's under. I think he goes before 16.5. And so I would play that one up to as high as minus 195 on that 16.5 to the under.
Adam, man, great stuff. Thank you for taking some time.
Thank you so much, Adam.
Jason, he's in the Dominican right now.
Wow.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.